You're listening to a podcast by the Perennial Leader Project. To learn more, visit perennial.substack.com. Welcome back to the Perennial Meditations podcast. On this episode, I'm sharing an audio meditation inspired by our weekly Monday Muse, which includes a meditation from the Dying Every Day series, a perennial reminder, insight, and recommendation to help you start your week. If you're interested in more tools on the art of living, consider becoming a member to Perennial Meditations on Substack. You'll help support the project and gain full access to our meditations, podcasts, and courses. All right, without any further delay, I hope you enjoy this meditation on the art of thinking, perspectives, and judgments. These are the two ideas you should keep at the very front of your mind and think about. One is that things in the world do not touch your spirit, but stand quietly external to it. That which disturbs us comes only from the opinions within us. Second, everything you see changes in a moment and will soon be gone. Always keep in mind how many of these changes you have already seen. The world is constantly changing. Your life lies in your opinion. These words come from the Meditations of Marcus Aurelius. In this week's meditation from the Dying Every Day series, we explore the art of thinking through a selected reading from Seneca. It is clear to you, I'm sure, Lucilius, that no man can live a happy life or even a supportable life without the study of wisdom. You know also that a happy life is reached when our wisdom is brought to completion, but that life is at least endurable even when our wisdom is only begun. This idea, however clear though it is, must be strengthened and implanted more deeply by daily reflection. It is more important for you to keep the resolutions you have already made than to go on and make noble ones. You must persevere, must develop new strength by continuous study, until that which is only a good inclination becomes a good settled purpose. Philosophy molds and constructs the soul. It orders our life, guides our conduct, shows us what we should do and what we should leave undone. It sits at the helm and directs our course as we waver amid uncertainties. Without it, no one can live fearlessly or in peace of mind. And this is adapted from On Philosophy, the Guide of Life. As a daily exercise, consider reflecting on what guides your thinking. How do you discern between helpful and unhelpful ways of thinking? As you go about your week, consider pausing occasionally to notice how your thinking influences your actions. A related idea to the meditation comes from Lessons from an American Stoic. It's a great new book by Mark Matusik. He was a previous podcast guest on In Search of Wisdom probably about 6 months ago or so. And I'll share with you as a perennial reminder here a short passage on perspectives. He says, "Your vision of the world reflects more about you than it mirrors objective reality. The reason why the world lacks unity and lies broken and in heaps is because man is disunited in himself, after all. Societies are made up of individuals who are largely blind to their illusions, doomed to repeat their destructive patterns till they learn to change how they see and think. Matusik says that perspectives create our reality. The mind's narration interferes with clear seeing. This story-making voice creates an illusion of separateness that must be seen through in order to be fully present. Our perennial insight this week comes from The Liberated Mind by Stephen C. Hayes, who is the founder of acceptance and commitment therapy. The Liberated Mind is one of my favorite books. It's filled with insights, and this insight is connected to the idea of thinking and perspectives, but focuses on judgments. Hayes writes, "Cognitive fusion means buying into what your thoughts tell you, taking them literally, word for word, and letting what they say overdetermine what you do. This trick of mind happens because we are programmed to notice the world only as structured by thought. We see the terrible this or the awful that, but we miss the fact that we are thinking. In our attempts to have the world make sense, we judge our experiences and then buy into the judgment instead of realizing it is a judgment to begin with. The flip side of fusion is seeing thoughts as they actually are, ongoing attempts at meaning-making, and then choosing to give them power only to the degree that they genuinely serve us. This flexibility skill involves just noticing the act of thinking without diving in." This week's passages reminded me of the paradoxical idea that thinking is both a path to peace and suffering. The Buddha taught more than 2,000 years ago that whatever we frequently think and ponder will become the inclination of the mind, and that an untrained mind ultimately leads to suffering. In the Dhammapada, or Sayings of the Buddha, it explains that we are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world. Speak or act with an impure mind, and trouble will follow you, as the wheel follows the ox that draws the cart. Speak or act with a pure mind, and happiness will follow you, as your shadow, unshakable. How can a troubled mind understand the way? Buddhist and Stoic wisdom align well with modern psychological research. For example, cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, tells us that changing our thinking patterns can reduce suffering. By noticing faulty or unhelpful ways of thinking, we can learn better ways of navigating life. And finally, our perennial book this week is The Inner Experience by Thomas Merton. This was published posthumously in 2004, and I actually found this short book at my local library probably about a year ago. And since then, I learned that it was Merton's final work. He was actually making revisions shortly before his untimely death in 1968. It bridges Merton's early work on Catholic monasticism, mysticism, and contemplation with his later writing on Eastern meditation and spirituality. The passage I pulled from the book says, "Reflect sometimes on the disquieting fact that most of your statements of opinions, tastes, deeds, desires, hopes, and fears are statements about someone who is not really present. When you say, 'I think,' it is often not you who think, but they. It is the anonymous authority of the collectivity speaking through your mask. When you say, 'I want,' you are sometimes simply making an automatic gesture of accepting, paying for, whatever has been forced upon you. Who is this I that you imagine yourself to be? Thank you for subscribing and listening to another episode of the Perennial Meditations podcast. I hope you found something useful for daily life. If so, I urge you to put what you heard into practice. Until next time, be wise and be well.